Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, and people prefer darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We're still with Nicodemus. You'll remember the Gospel on Monday. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he said, "You are a man come from God." And Jesus says, "You must be born again." And then we had Jesus speaking to Nicodemus yesterday again in the Gospel, and today, still a conversation with Nicodemus. And I did mention on Monday, he appears only in the Gospel of John. He appears two more times there. He's in chapter 7, where he appears to defend Jesus as a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling body. Then he'll appear then in chapter 19 in John, where he is involved in the burial of Jesus. So he clearly becomes a follower of Jesus. He becomes a disciple. And his discipleship in the Gospel of John is rooted in the conversation that Jesus has with him, which we have read Monday, Tuesday, and today. We are very familiar with 3:16 from John's Gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We see that written all the time, John 3:16. That whoever believes and will be in light, and whoever does not believe will be in darkness and will be condemned. It's a complex theology here, and we must read this theology in our awareness of our cosmic consciousness we have today. It was written in a very narrow world here, but in order for us to interpret what this gospel really means, we have to draw it into the present age with our global awareness of the presence of infinite love in Jesus Christ. What does this mean? Well, it came to me very clearly some years ago when I was in India on a long sabbatical, and I arrived in Calcutta and I met this old missionary, a wise old man. And he said to me, "How long are you going to stay?" I stay with the missionaries. They live in the barrios and it's free. That's the first good news about it. The second is you can come any day you want. They give you a cot, a mosquito net, and then you eat their food. So they don't mind come Wednesday, Thursday, a week, 2 weeks, whatever. So it's very good. I've stayed with missionaries all over the world. So this old fellow looked at me and he said, you're the one saying you're in. I said, well, yeah, that's me. He wasn't impressed. And how long are you going to stay? And I said, I don't know. I have a 9-month sabbatical. I'd be around here somewhere. He said, what are you going to do every day? And I said, I'm not sure. I'll work with Mother Teresa's volunteers. Thought that was a good answer. He said, it may not be so easy. I said, well, why not? He said, they're all Hindus. Only 2% Christian in India. I said, well, okay, I'll work with the Hindus. He said, it may not be so easy. I said, well, why not? He said, you'll have to decide whether you're here to bring Christ to the Hindu or to find Christ in the Hindu. And I said, well, since there's a billion Hindus and one of me, I better find Christ in the Hindu. So in the morning, I would say Mass early in the morning for Mother Teresa's nuns. And then during the day, I'd go up to the Hindu temple and I prayed with the Hindus. I went to the cremations and prayed with them. Christ was there. Christ is cosmic. We tend to reduce Christ to a little section of the world in which we live. Christ is cosmic. Read Tyre de Chardin, the cosmic Christ. This sense of Christ in people. My next door neighbor down there in Alhambra where I live, a Hindu man, he died, an elderly man who wasn't well. He died day before yesterday. And I gave them a Mass card. He was a decent, honorable, good man. You think he's not born into glory with the living God? Of course he is. So when we begin to interpret this, we want to see the presence of Christ in other people who differ with us. Good, honorable people. I have a good friend who comes to church here. I haven't seen him for a while now. He's a Muslim. And he's a physician. His wife is very Catholic, so he used to come to all the Masses I would do. I haven't seen him for a while now. I must check on him. Anyway, he's a Muslim. And I said, now, Suhail, are you a devout Muslim? And he said, I am. I said, do you actually turn to Mecca 5 times a day to pray? And he said, I do. Do you observe Ramadan, the fast of Ramadan? He said, I do. Do you go to the mosque every Friday? I do go to the mosque every Friday. He's an honorable, good, decent, peace-loving man. Is Christ in him? Of course Christ is in him. Christ is way beyond us. Christ is cosmic. And the teaching of this gospel, which was written in a very small world now, we have to interpret this in the place we find ourselves. There's a difference between people living in light and people living in darkness. And these people I'm talking about, they live in light. They live in light. There are other people who are doing evil things and destroying people. They're living in darkness. They are the ones that do not know Christ, the infinite love of God. So when you meet your neighbors and they don't go to Holy Family, maybe they don't believe in any church, but they're decent, good, they're living in the light, then take a second look and you'll see Christ. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It anoints all of creation. It's amazing. And a lot of people that come to church here who really don't go to the Eucharist, they just come to pray and listen to the Word of God. Christ is in them. For me, I think Christ, the presence of God, the life of God, the energy of God, the beauty of God, the kindness of God. Hey, it's all around us. Just take a second look and you'll see, wow, this is God's presence speaking to me. That's the teaching of the theology of light and darkness, which Jesus speaks to Nicodemus and appeared here. If you read the whole section of Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, you will see the presence of Christ, the gift of Christ, the life of Christ, the wonder, the imagination, the mystery of Christ. It's wonderful. So when you journey through your day today, be conscious. The sun came up this morning. God spoke to us. When you journey through your day, you'll meet people and you'll say, well, they don't go to our church. They don't believe what we believe. But there's something beautiful. They live in light. Christ. Amen. We pause now for a moment of prayer.